Every Woman is a feminist show about women making a difference and the men by their side. As less than 50% of the world population, now due to the war against women in domestic violence and as collateral damage in wars, women are, as I said, less than 50%, but we are 53% of the voting electorate in the United States. And every woman should work and vote toward nothing less than 50-50 participation in the social, political, and economic arenas. The views and opinions expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, KKFI board, volunteers, or the sponsors of KKFI and Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated. This is Sharon Lockhart with Ebony Johnson, and Ebony will be doing the news in a few seconds, but first I want to announce our show today. We have with us Martha Childers, LPC, a multicultural therapist with an office in the Plaza area. And she'll be talking to us about caregiver stress. And then after that, we'll be playing some pre-recorded spots from yesterday afternoon with youngsters from the 2016 Social Change Institute. We did three recordings. We're just going to play two of them today. And it's just so much fun to work with these young people with AFSC and the Social Change Institute. I'm hoping everybody enjoys it as much as I did. Now let's go to Ebony and hear from the news.
A new reality was created this week as Hillary Clinton became the first woman to reach the milestone of securing the pledged delegates needed to become the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee. Ladies in America and Western Europe are stressed nearly twice as much as men, according to a study led by the University of Cambridge. The National Institute for Health Research funded researchers from the University of Cambridge to review about 50 studies on anxiety disorders. The goal was to identify what groups experience the most stress, looking at gender, age, medical conditions, addiction, and mental disorders. It's estimated that 4 out of every 100 people have anxiety. For every 1.9 females, one male is affected by anxiety disorders, and women younger than 35 are disproportionately affected. People in North America are perhaps the most stressed. 8 in 100 people have anxiety. In Asia, that number is 3 in 100. USA Today reported June 7th. A South African court on Friday ordered a woman to pay 150,000 rand, or $9,941, to charity after she was found guilty of hate speech for referring to blacks as, quote, monkeys, News 24 reported. The case is the latest in a string of similar incidents that have laid bare the racial tensions that endure more than two decades after the end of apartheid rule. The ruling African National Congress, ANC, brought charges against former estate agent Penny Sparrow after she caused public outrage by saying on her Facebook page that blacks made beaches dirty like, quote, wild monkeys. Under apartheid law, South African beaches are racially segregated, with beaches like the one Sparrow referred to reserved solely for whites. Quote, her words convey the message both explicitly and implicitly to the reader that black people are not worthy of being described as humans. Umzinto Equality Court Magistrate Afran Khalil was quoted as saying on News 24. Khalil ordered Sparrow to pay the fine within 60 days. He said, "It is unfortunate that 22 years into democracy, racists are emboldened to vent their views on public platforms. This judgment serves as a reminder that such behavior will not be tolerated," the ANC said in a statement. Reuters reported June 10th.
Thank you, Ebony. Interesting that stress came into the conversation since our guest today is going to talk to us specifically about caregiver stress and, in fact, shed some new thoughts on who are caregivers. Martha Childers is an LPC and multicultural therapist in the Plaza area. Thank you, Martha, for joining us today.
Well, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here, and I'm so grateful to you for having me on this show to talk about this very important topic. And I wanted to start out by asking you if you happen to know anyone who was a caregiver who actually passed from this life before the person that they were taking care of.
I do not.
No, I don't either.
I know a couple of people that fall in that category. They just ignored their own physical maladies and died before the person they were caring for. And caregiver stress is quite a problem. Caregivers are a wide variety of people who do all kinds of things. We have medical professionals, mental health professionals, people who serve us in the spiritual realm, like ministers, lay ministers, congregations, imams, synagogues, rabbis, ashrams. These are people also who are paid in the home or not paid in the home. Most are probably family members and friends who are not paid. Public servants like police officers, EMTs, firefighters, and even school teachers. I'd like to include our furry friends, animals and pets. I've heard stories of nursing home cats who would stay in the room of someone who's dying for the last couple of days before they passed. And these creatures are also provide us comfort and care.
I'm going to become concerned if my cat starts hanging close to me after that remark.
But talk, I know now there, I'm in a currently a part of a family dynamic that has changed. My grandfather has dementia, and it's really upended and kind of changed the structure, the dynamic of our family. We were so used to him being just on top of things and a certain way. You know, he had retired, but he worked his job and took care of the bills and made sure the lawn and the house and everything was taken care of. And he retired, and some years back we realized that he had dementia, and it really changed our experience, you know, with him. And I'm sure I know his experience, you know, with us, but I didn't really realize how stressful it was until I think somebody else pointed it out to me. And then I know you've talked a little bit before the show just about different sorts of caregivers and what caregiving really means, and what people are doing. Can you speak to that a bit more with what goes on in caregiving?
Sure. Caregivers are typically people who are helping us with our everyday life. Things like shopping for food or cooking, cleaning the house, paying the bills, giving medicine, helping people to the toilet, helping them bathe, helping them dress, helping them eat, providing company and emotional support. When I had my first hip replaced a few years ago, I was very touched because one of my neighbors sent his little boy over to read stories to me, to give me company. Mm-hmm. And that was so sweet to do that. Mm-hmm. And providing company for someone who is recovering or ill is very meaningful.
It seems I know Jonna Lawther was on the show a few weeks back, and she talked about, we talked about intergenerational conversations, but we spoke specifically about younger generations communicating with older generations. And she does some work with creative aging in Kansas City, and just the facts of, you know, we do have an older a population that is aging, and we do need to be able to deal with it. Not to say that just because people are aging that they're going to get sick, you know, automatically. Right. But I think it does change the face of caregiving in a way that we have not been used to in the past. Would you say?
Well, we do have an aging population, mm-hmm. and let's face it, our bodies get old and they start having difficulties, and we need more care and more support as we age.
And it seems like some people are becoming caregivers at a younger age than they thought that they would. You know, even now, I forget where I heard this, Sharon, but somebody talked about young, like some people in their 30s, you know, coming back to take care of, you know, of a parent or...
Well, when I was 25 years old, approximately, if not younger, my grandfather was found, the police arrested him because he was kind of wandering. He was driving around in Illinois looking for his son, and but he was lost. And so they called the family, and my uncle went to rescue him, and they decided that Grandpa needed to be taken care of, and they were talking about putting him in a home, and I became real distressed that I couldn't bear to see my grandfather put in some kind of a, I'm talking 1965, 66. We made arrangements for my grandfather to move in with us, and I had a 2-year-old or barely 2-year-old, and it was almost like I had two small children. They would kind of fight with each other, and it was pretty interesting. And I took care of him for almost 2 years, and toward the end, it became very, very difficult. Because he had suffered some slight strokes. But it changed my life from the standpoint that I was just bound and determined that this was what made life meaningful, was to care for someone like that. Of course, he was flesh and blood, and it was much easier than just going out and picking a stranger to caregive for, I suspect.
Yeah. Maybe in some ways, but perhaps in some other ways, we don't necessarily have some of the ties, you know, like, for instance, when I said we were so used to my grandfather being a certain way. Michelle, you mentioned dealing with the grief.
Right. When you watch that decline and you're observing someone that you love decline, there is an element of grief in that, mm-hmm. too, that we have to deal with, the loss of that person. In that whole process.
So what are some things for people who are in a situation where they are giving care to a family member or whomever, and things that we need to consider for ourselves to take care of ourselves in the process as well, since you started out mentioning, you know, some caregivers pass before the person they're giving care to?
Right. Setting boundaries is very important. I always like to think of the Serenity Prayer. I hope it's okay for me to mention that. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And often when we're caring for someone, about the only thing we can do is make them comfortable and safe. And we get anxious and frustrated when we try to do things that cannot be done. Mm-hmm. So it's good to step back and take a look at the situation and see what you can do. And if it's something that can be done but you can't do it, ask for some help.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's important too for when caregiving for all the caregivers to communicate with each other so that everybody's on the same page and knows what's going on. There's lots of free services like the website Caring Bridge. A friend of mine has a Facebook group that she's created. That way she just types in what's happening. And one time she'd forgotten to take her charger for her phone, and she typed in there, "If you're going to visit, please bring your charger." Mm-hmm. So that helped her. My cousin has an email group, and she just sends out an email to everybody to keep them posted on what's happening. So that cuts down on the communication, because mm-hmm. That can be really stressful if a lot of people are calling, or you know you can't have a visitor on a certain day, or you need this or that. You can communicate with it that way.
It seems like just some of the things that you're mentioning, it's in a way it's creating community.
That's correct.
It definitely is. And let me I'll segue, because we'll come back to that. We are still in the process of pledge drive, and just speaking of community and KKFI being a fabric and a part of the community, I feel like having this conversation. I mentioned to Martha a bit earlier, I think this will be a little bit like therapy for me with dealing with it in my own, you know, in my own family. And for me, KKFI is a place to create the news, you know, instead of just digesting it from the TV and whatever, you know, a corporate organization has decided this is what, you know, what the news will be. Well, at KKFI, we have the opportunity to decide for ourselves what it'll be, to join in on the conversation. I was in a conversation on trauma a couple of weeks ago, and this man said, you know, if we consider all of the violence, well, what is the opposite of violence? And he said creativity. Like for him, the only way you can really combat that is to create. And I thought about my experience with being able to come here and create, and that this really has been a stress reliever for me. And, you know, an opportunity for me to hear and to be heard at the same time, which I think is a basic human need. So,
well, I would like to jump right in and say how grateful I am, as a longtime member at KKFI and a longtime programmer, to have Ebony Johnson as a creative force on this show. She has lent so much to it and is so dependable and so bright.
Oh, thanks.
And yeah, it's just amazing. And you know what else? While we were talking about this, it occurred to me that our listeners are caregivers, our donors are caregivers.
Yes.
As they care for this kind of programming that we do at KKFI. And in fact, I met Martha through another woman who's had a show here, I just learned, at KKFI years ago, and I wasn't even aware of it until just a few moments ago. I mean, we're out there in the community, and we're meeting people and making mm-hmm. connections, and we are able to bring the community to the airwaves, people that ordinarily wouldn't be invited to be on the commercial media and share the information and knowledge that they have to share. And that's so vital to what we do here at KKFI and to our listeners. I'm hoping that you out there are listening now and feel grateful for something that KKFI has had on the air that impacted your life at one time or another, and that you will call in now at 888-931-0901 with your pledge. That's 888-931-0901.
And Sharon, we have somebody to thank already that has called in and given us a pledge, or given pledges.
We do. Gail James has donated, and Mary Mosley from Fulton, Missouri, who is often a contributor to KKFI, has, and Gail James too has been on the show and will be on the show, as she's working very closely. She's in the Women's Equality Week organizing group, and she has contributed to KKFI verbally in the past by being a guest. So we thank them for those pledges.
Thank you so much. And again, that number to call in to help continue the care for KKFI is 888-931-0901. And you can also pledge online, your contributions online at www.kkfi.org.
Be a caregiver, a KKFI caregiver, and send us a care package by calling
fantastic
816-931-0901. We have people in the phone room now. If the line is busy, just call back. But keep those calls coming, and call early and call often. That's what I say.
Thank you. Okay. Now, can you share, Martha, with us some more of the points that you mentioned?
I'd be glad to. Yeah, for things that caregivers can do to reduce their own stress. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to point out is, because I do see clients who are caregivers, and one of the things that they struggle with is asking for help. Mm. And in our culture, mm-hmm. we're taught that it's better to give than to receive. Yeah. And one thing I like to tell them is if nobody asks somebody to help, then they can't help. So you've been helping people your whole life, and now's your time to ask for help. Mm-hmm. When I had my first hip replaced a few years ago, a friend gave me the most valuable advice. She said, if someone tells you that they will help you after the surgery, write their name down. And I did. And I had a whole list of people. When I came out of surgery, I was drugged. I wasn't thinking clearly, and I had that list to look at to think, okay, now who can I call to do the laundry or bring me some food? Mm-hmm. Who would be the best person to do that? And I never had to call two people, and the first person I'd call would come help. So it's mm-hmm. important to do that and to call them when you need help. Another thing to do is find someone to talk to. A therapist is good because we're required by law to keep everything confidential. Mm-hmm. If you have someone that you can talk to, try to get someone who does not give you advice. You've already mm-hmm. got all yeah. kinds of stress. The last thing you need is somebody who's going to tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. So it needs to be someone that can really empathize and listen mm-hmm. without judgment. And there's a lot of people out there that are like that.
I just want to highlight the point of that, just in my own experience. And Sharon, I don't know if you felt this way with your grandfather you were caring for. I had my younger sister, we would talk about, oh my gosh, like how the experience was affecting us, you know, but we were able to talk about it together because we were in it together.
That is so valuable.
And I can't, just listening to you even saying, you know, about the confidentiality and the non-judgment aspect, we didn't judge each other because we understood each other. You know, right. It was like some of these things maybe I wouldn't want to say to somebody else.
Exactly.
You know, some of the thoughts and feelings I'm having, maybe I actually don't want to own that much myself.
That's right.
But let alone tell somebody else and, you know, stand in the fire of judgment. So
exactly.
I definitely feel like that has been a great help, I guess, going back again to caring for myself in the process.
Yeah, that's very important. Another thing is to become educated on the topic, and you can just Google caregiver or caregiver stress, medlineplus.gov, pubmed.gov are both websites that are excellent. Okay. They're put together by the National Library of Medicine. And here in Kansas City, we are blessed by incredible public libraries. You can call your library and ask for help. You can call, go to the library and get free information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Coping skills are very important. Communicating, like we just talked about, and mindfulness exercises are very useful. There's an increasing amount of research coming out showing the importance of mindfulness exercises. On my website, under the resource page, there's a whole list of exercises, mindfulness exercises that people can do throughout the day.
Can you give your website address?
Sure. It's www.childerscounselingservice.com.
And that Childers is spelled?
C-H-I-L-D-E-R-S. Childers Counseling Service. And there's, some of us feel like we don't have time to do mindfulness exercises, but there's that hold on the phone, waiting for the computer to come up, waiting at the stoplight, waiting in the grocery line. Those are all moments we can use to meditate or just go into a mindfulness place to
can
reduce stress.
Explain a little bit about what that mindfulness place is or how you do that?
Yeah, well, Mindfulness is basically being in the moment now. Most of our anxiety comes from looking into the future or looking into the past. So if we can breathe into the solar plexus, into the diaphragm, just breathe there and focus on the breath. That is, if you can just do that, that'll get you started. And focus on the breath. And if thoughts go through the mind, just see them as like fish swimming through your mind or static on the radio, and allow them, see them, acknowledge them, and let them flow through. Because if we try to stop them, then it just builds up. Mm-hmm. It's like a dam, and a lot of energy goes into trying to force thoughts to go away.
That sounds like me. I said this would be a therapy. Because sometimes I do kind of feel like, okay, I need to stop thinking about that. Mm-hmm. I just need to not think that way. And that actually probably, like you said, I guess it does make it worse.
Yeah, it really does. But it's just to allow it to flow through.
We have such a tendency to focus on the negative instead of the positive for some reason.
Yeah, that's just the way we're wired. And that's a whole nother topic. But humans are just wired that way. Yeah, and I don't. Maybe it's a survival technique. I have no idea. But more self-care, would you like me to share a little more?
Yes.
As getting a massage regularly, playing with a pet, doing something that you know rejuvenates you and relaxes you. Mm-hmm. I personally love going to action movies. I put my leave my brain at the door. I get some popcorn and a soda. I go in and I watch a movie, and it is so relaxing for me.
Yeah.
And everybody's different. Everybody go for a walk or whatever works for you, and only you know what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a couple of other points is hiring some help. One thing I forgot to mention earlier is when you're asking for help, be specific. Would you please go buy some milk, eggs, and whatever, bread for me? Mm-hmm. Or would you come over and do the laundry? Or be specific. Palliative care and hospice care are wonderful. And when my eldest sister, Virginia, was dying from cancer, she was kind of in and out of the hospital for 2 years. And when I discovered the palliative care team, it was just a godsend. I walked into the hospital room and I saw her. She was always very clean and very well groomed and focused on fashion. And there she was in the hospital bed. Her hair was not clean. And she was depressed. And I found this brochure by the elevator on palliative care. I gave it to her. The next time I came in, there was a minister, a social worker, and a doctor who were listening to her and making sure that she had herself, her hair clean, and things that she needed to be comfortable.
Some of the points that you've made causes me to think about even just when my sister was pregnant. And like you're saying, you know, there are little things that we can do to help, you know, or to be of assistance to someone who needs some, you know, some assistance, which I think we all do. I mean, whatever it is, none of us really do it alone. But I do think sometimes, you know, if I'm with my niece or nephew or hanging out with them, or, you know, even some of the smallest things can help relieve some of, she seems to have a million things going on in her head all the time, you know, and things she needs to do to take care of my niece and nephew. And I do know that she appreciates even some of the smallest, you know, things like, whew, okay, I think it's kind of like one of her to-dos can be checked off. I don't have to be worried about doing that part.
Right, and that segues beautifully into some of the ways that we can help caregivers. And it's important not to be tempted to say, well, call me when you need some help.
Yeah.
The caregiver's stressed and overwhelmed. It's helpful to say, what can I do for you? Do you, and also, keep in mind your own boundaries, like how much time you have, how much money you have, how much energy you have to give. Like, I'm going shopping. Would you like for me to pick up some things at the grocery store for you? Is one of the kids driving you crazy? Would you like for me to take them to the park? Or just something specific. It's very helpful.
I can't emphasize that enough, how sometimes we do think that we need to do some big thing or make some long-term standing commitment, and how one thing may not be that significant. But it is, no matter how we take measure of it, it is. And like, to your point, when you mentioned the serenity prayer, what is it that I can do? You know, what are in my limits? And if it's not, it's just not. And I just need to make peace with that.
Yeah. And I don't know how much more time we have, but I wanted to mention also that the person who's being cared for can also help reduce the caregiver stress. The most important thing is to be grateful, to say it, to do it in whatever way speaks to the caregiver.
Mm.
And identify your needs and wants and ask specifically to get your needs met.
Mm.
And then ask for things that you want as well, if there's the time, energy, and resources to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Spreading out, and I think with your family, that is very important, to have as many caregivers as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that the work is spread out,
mm-hmm.
And it's not such a burden for one person.
Yeah.
And then if it's not a good fit, you know, find somebody else to be your caregiver.
Yeah.
That's important.
Any other things?
Do we still have time to some of the ways that we can provide caregiving? I lived overseas for 12 years in Europe, Asia, and Africa, and I have friends all over the world. And when I find out that they're sick or they've lost a loved one, I'm too far away to do anything. And I have a subscription to Jackie Lawson e-cards, and you can get free e-cards. And I can it just takes maybe 30 seconds to go in, send them an e-card, and they always respond that they're so grateful just to be thought of. Sending a card through the mail or a note through the mail, sending flowers, all these things are very helpful. When my sister died, one of my coworkers, Barb Grigsby, I'm going to mention her name here. Mm-hmm. She was awesome. She brought me some food, and she knows I like stout beer,
mm-hmm.
and she brought me some food and a six-pack of stout beer, and I had it, put it in the fridge. And I came home one night, I was so exhausted, and I thought, what am I going to eat?
Mm-hmm.
And I opened the fridge door, and there was that food, and it was just wonderful, and I will never forget that.
Mm.
It was a relatively small thing to do,
mm-hmm.
but it was memorable and meaningful to me, and I'll be forever grateful to her for that.
Wonderful. It reminds me of in wrapping this conversation, my older sister and I talked about, we're having a conversation just with dealing with the effect with our grandpa, and she mentioned, you know, having compassion for him, and it is a big change, you know, for him as well. And I agree with her. And then I also said, but staying with him, it is also important to have compassion for the person given care to. Like, that makes it complete. It's not just about compassion for the person who's on the flip side of the coin, but it's compassion for both people, the one giving and the one receiving. And that was something that I think sometimes on the outside looking in, it can be a little bit dismissed because we think only the person that may not be feeling well or maybe whatever needs compassion, but the person that's, you know, providing the care needs compassion as well.
That's a great point. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Oh, it's been so rewarding, and I really appreciate your letting me share this information with your listening public.
And can you give your website address one more time for if people could look up more resources there?
Sure. And I will mention that we'll be posting this show on my website. So if anybody wants to listen to it again, it's www.childerscounselingservice.com. And Childers is C-H-I-L-D-E-R-S.
Okay.
And Martha, you have other topics you are prepared to talk with us about in the future, too. Can you name some of those?
Sure. I'd be happy to talk about mindfulness. I'd be thrilled to talk about multicultural relationships. I have a long list of things that I could talk about, but those are the ones that I think of. Grief is another one that comes off the top of my head.
And how about the psychology of money?
The psychology of money is actually my favorite topic.
Well, we'll definitely have to have you on.
Couples and money is fascinating.
Okay, we will have you back soon. And thank you to Jan Powell for introducing us. And we will...
We're going to take a break here, and then we're going to... Sharon, we're going to do the AFSC interview as
Social change.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned, everyone.
Hey, Michael. My nephew from Germany, who listens on the web, wants to know what thank you gifts are available during the current pledge drive.
Danke schön to him. At the $75 level, there's the KKFI collaboration CD. Then, at the $90 level, it's the KKFI t-shirt. Or, at the $150 level, is the guest DJ slot, for which you can gift to someone or keep it for yourself. Call 888-931-0901 and let them know which one you are interested in. Or you can donate online at kkfi.org.
That's 888-931-0901.
Please call now, 888-931-0901.
And we're back. You can call that number that Michael just gave you, 888-931-0901, and be a caregiver to KKFI. We hope we're giving care to you, the listener, and we hope in turn that you give care back to us. 888-931-0901. And we're going to go now into a couple of spots we recorded yesterday with youngsters from the Social Change Institute put on by the American Friends Service Committee. And I think we're in the third annual year of that. And it's just so delightful to listen to these young people who are learning about the world around them and social issues that they didn't know existed before. And we're going to go now with the first interview, I think.
Hello, this is Royce Handy with the American Friends Service Committee, and I'm here with a group from our Social Change Institute. This is the 2016 group. We're here doing an interview for you.
Okay, this is Sharon Lockhart, and I'd like for each of you to introduce yourselves. Say your names into the microphone.
My name is Jayla.
And
my name is Tajay.
My name is Diamond.
My name is La Sierra.
And my name is Adriana.
Well, good. It's good to have you here. I always enjoy this class. Have you guys been enjoying the class?
Yes.
And are you in the first week or the last week of it?
First week.
What are you planning to do with what you learn at the Social Change Institute?
Better our community.
Good. Anybody else?
I'm planning to use it in my future careers.
Great. Any other ideas what you might do with what you've learned?
Well, learning how to speak up.
That's very important.
And bring outreach to the community.
Great. Okay. So what's been your favorite thing so far that you've done in the class this week?
I have to say meeting new people and learning about their organizations.
Good.
My favorite thing was the Big Wind Blows.
Ah. And what is the Big Wind Blows?
Oh, my name is Diamond Canada. And the Big Wind Blows is kind of to get to know what everybody likes and what everybody has in common.
I like learning about all the stuff that's going on in our community.
I liked building new relationships with new people and learning about the organizations and bettering our community slowly.
It is sometimes slow and painful. That's a true story, so you have to be patient. And what did you learn about independent media today? I know Mike Murphy was talking to you about KKFI and how the media is so important to an informed citizenship who vote and elect the people that represent us.
My name is Diamond Canada, and I feel that it's important to have a radio station like this because it informs you about everything and gives you the exact details, and it's only here for us to learn better and to better our community with real information.
My name is La Sierra, and I believe this radio station, it helps a lot of people understand different factors of the world.
My name is Jayla, and this radio station goes deeper into problems in society and not just overlooking stuff. They go into depth about it.
You're absolutely right. We don't do very many sound bites here. We get a half hour to an hour to discuss issues on most of our public affairs programming.
My name is Adriana, and what I learned about independent media is that, well, typically mainstream media are, if they inform you about something, it will often be censored or limited. So independent media is free from those kinds of restrictions and being able to give you more details about what goes on.
Yeah, because we don't have advertisers. We don't have to please the corporations that sometimes it seems like we're a corporatocracy instead of a democracy. So that is a good reason for community radio to exist, for free expression of opinions and views. What are you looking forward to next with this program?
I'm looking forward to how our Unity Fest turns out.
Your what?
Our Unity Fest.
Well, tell me about a Unity Fest. Well, what is your name again?
My name is Tajay.
And what? Tell me about this Unity Fest. What are the plans? Anybody got a plan for the Unity Fest?
My name is Diamond, and the Unity Fest is basically us, and during our 2 weeks, we plan a program, well, for our community to come out and not just to have fun, which fun is included, but we also want to teach them about how scapegoating is not okay, and judging people by the groups they're in is not okay, and a bunch of isms like racism, stuff like that.
I could add sexism to that. Yes.
Genderism, ageism.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of isms in the world.
There are. There are.
People don't know about
it. Yeah. Anybody else have anything they'd like to add? Well, let's have you say your names again for the listeners so we know who's here in this room. And you might tell what school you're going to and what class you graduate.
My name is Jayla Mosley. I attend Christo Rey Kansas City High School, and I'm class of 2017.
My name is Tajay Calhoun. I go to Christo Rey Kansas City, and I'm class of 2019.
My name is Diamond Canada. I go to Pacella Fine and Performing Arts, and I'm class of 2K19.
My name is La Sierra Washington. I go to Pacella Academy. It's class of 2018. Woo woo!
My name is Adriana, and I graduated from Paseo as class of 2016.
Great. Well, thank you all.
We're going to play more of this interview, but we did want to step into, again, reminding you that you can give to KKFI today through your funds. Thank you for listening. We appreciate that and calling in and all the people who've already pledged. But we'd like for you to also remember that you can help nurture and provide for this radio station and keep conversations on the air like this and music that you hear on this station, and know that we're all volunteers here. We have, is it four people on staff, Sharon?
Four
paid staff people, but other than that, Sharon and I and Amy and most of the other people
on
the air, Marvita, we're all volunteering our time. So you giving your money to help keep us on the air and keep and participate in a part of the community radio is what makes this a community and a family as well.
And, you know, not only are we volunteering our time, but I do want to thank Amy Bell, Marvita Oliver, Ebony Johnson, and myself, Sharon Lockhart, for contributing to Every Woman in KKFI, too. I don't want to leave us out.
And that number that you can call?
888-931-0901, 888-931-0901. And what we just heard and are about to hear more of is what makes me so excited about KKFI and being able to be on the air and bring the community to the airwaves. These young people who otherwise wouldn't have a chance, and this was their first opportunity to be on the radio, and I think we've got five young women who are going to join this show on a somewhat regular basis if we can pull it off, and we'll be hearing from young people's voices. We had two young women yesterday who, when I asked them if they'd like to be on radio, I don't remember if it came through in the first one yet, I think it will in the second one, said, well, yes, I'm a celebrity. I deserve to be on the radio. So two of those women think they're celebrities, and by golly, they belong on radio. So we'll be hearing more from them. And that phone number to call, if you appreciate what we do at KKFI and the people and the voices that we bring you, call us now at 888-931-0901. Or you can donate online.
This is Royce Handy with the American Friends Service Committee, Kansas City intern. And we are with the Social Change Institute, group number 2 of the 2016 class. And they are here to answer questions.
I would like for each of you to come up to the microphone and speak your name as one by one, and then we'll talk as a group.
My name is Michael.
Michael.
My name is Leah.
Leah.
Hope.
Hope.
Courtney.
Courtney. Okay. One of the things that I like about the class is that the youth are always so energized and enthusiastic. Do you feel that way about this group, that everyone is participating fully?
Yes, I agree with that.
What did you expect when you came to this class?
Well, I expected to learn about more about the community and how we can help, like, you know.
I expected to learn more about change in the world and how to stop certain issues that's going on in my everyday life.
I expected to know how the youth have a part in what they could do in the community.
I was expecting how to make a social change by myself and also with other peers that I know.
Now, I know you're just in the first week of the class, but are your expectations being met? Do you feel like you're really gaining some valuable insights?
Well, yeah, I feel that way. I mean, after the first couple of days, I felt like I gained a lot of knowledge about stuff I didn't know and how we can help our community.
I feel like that we have learned different ways and how to plan to, like, actually make stuff happen, like, not to just give up and how to, like, plan for it to be successful.
I learned how to start with one person, and then someone else can say their opinion, and they can either agree or disagree and tell us why.
I kind of agree with everyone else, mainly.
Good. Well, what is it so far that's been your favorite thing that you've done this week?
My name is Michael, and can you repeat the question again? I'm sorry.
Yes, what is your favorite thing that's taken place this week? What have you liked the best?
Well, so far, coming to the radio station.
Really? You know? Good for you.
Yeah, it's a good experience for me.
My name is Leah, and the best thing I think we have did was when the lady came yesterday and talked to us about the crime that's going on between police and the just people, period, how the police is being violent towards people in our community for no reason.
My name is Hope, and my favorite thing is about how the youth can lead the conversations that we have throughout the day.
My name is Courtney, and my favorite thing so far is the energizers and how everyone got close with everyone else.
I saw one of those energizers, and it looked like a lot of fun. I wanted to participate in that, too. What have you learned about community media today?
I learned that community media is totally different from public media. You know, it gets more depth into the truth, And it touched on every basis and I skipped parts because of, you know, their sponsors and all that.
Community media tells us more than what, what's the other media?
Commercial media.
Commercial media is basically fake, kind of. It's like it doesn't tell the truth. But the regular media is like, tells the truth.
Well, do any of you think from your experience down here you would like to volunteer to be on a radio show regularly? Had you even thought about that?
No. I'm kind of scared because I don't really like talking a lot, so not sure.
I mean, I wouldn't mind doing it, you know. It would be something new for me. I wouldn't mind.
I feel like I'm a celebrity, so I probably would do it.
My name is Hope, and I would do it because when I came, the people that was already here made me comfortable enough to know how to do it.
Good. Yeah, and it sounds like everybody that's here is working together and that you're getting along very well. And there really is nothing to be nervous about. And as a matter of fact, on Every Woman, we would love to have a youth group come on the show regularly and talk about areas that impact young people. Speaking of that, what are some of the important issues to you today as young people?
Well, we also been learning about the payday loan scandals and how it affects Missouri more than other states. And I think that's a real important issue because I got family members and peers that gets payday loans every day and they don't even know that they're getting scammed, you know. More people need to touch up on that.
I think something that's important for me is discrimination of women because I feel like that me as a woman going into the workforce and a man is getting paid more than me and I'm doing the same job is just not right. And I think that's the most important issue.
My name is Hope, and the issue that comes to me is the amount of people that I see on the streets that's drinking because the hours that liquor stores can stay open.
I agree with Leah. I think it's very unfair how women are discriminated from men when it comes to payday loans or money involved.
Or payday. Payday, period. Yeah. That's very discriminatory. That a woman will make, if she's lucky, in the same job, 77 cents to a man's dollar. And that means she has maybe as much or more education. And she may be just as smart, if not smarter, but yet she'll be paid less. Oh, okay, yes. Did you guys know each other before you came to this class, this group of four people in here now? Were you familiar with each other? Do you all go to the same school?
No? Just
you two. What school do you go to, and when do you graduate?
I go to Cristo Rey, and I graduate 2019.
I go to Northeast, and I graduate in the class of 2017.
My name is Leah, and I graduate 2017, and I go to Cristo Rey, Kansas City.
My name is Hope, and I go to Cristo Rey, Kansas City, and I'm class of 2017.
Great. Well, thank you all for doing this, and I hope you felt comfortable with it, and I hope you will consider volunteering at KKFI. We're back, and that was what I got to do yesterday afternoon, and next week we've got one more group that we will play, and I hope some of the young people remembered to tune in today and hear themselves on the air, and we'll remind the others that next week we'll play the second or the third interview. And if you've been listening today and you haven't called your pledge in yet, or if you're a first-time pledger or you've never called in before, make that call now. It's 888-931-0901. And be a KKFI caregiver.
And you can also go online, KKFI.org, and pledge your support there. And just from our hearts, we sincerely appreciate your support in listening and the money that you give and the people who come up here to volunteer. All of it is a part of the community, and this is your community radio station. I think, is it 80% or so or more comes
from donors. Yes,
so
from our listeners.
You are making this happen, and we appreciate you for keeping us on the air for over 25 years now. So we definitely would like to end on a thank you note for expressing our gratitude and the care that you have given us all this time and the care that we faithfully believe you'll keep doing. So, again, that number before we sign off here is 888 888- 931-0901, and you can also go on the website at kkfi.org. And with that being said, listen to us again next week, same time, same place at 3 p.m.
Next week, we plan to have a young woman who worked for me as a soda jerk when I was a soda jerk back in the late 60s. And she now is a Unity minister and has developed a peace program that she teaches worldwide called Razor. And she will be our interview next week.
Fantastic.
Rita Marie Johnson is her name.
Fantastic. And stay tuned with us as we're going to keep it going here at KKFI. With next coming up is Donna Wolf with Urban Connections. And then later is Guess Who's Coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson. We appreciate you for listening and being a part of the family. Have a good weekend, everybody.